Welcome, welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Hyrum Radio or back via the podcast. This is your weekly GAA radio show and roundup of all things in the county. And coming up later on the show, we're going to do a hurling preview with county star Sean McVeigh. Huge weekend at Donegal Park coming up this Saturday. We have the intermediate, the junior and the senior finals all taking place, thrown in at 1 o'clock in the junior for Master St. Junans, and 3 o'clock Cairndon and Buncrana, 5 p.m. the big one, Burt v Setanta. All games will be streamed. The link will go live on the county board website tonight. Looking forward to that. That promises to be a huge occasion there in Donegal and in hurling. We're also going to speak with Maureen O'Donnell shortly. We're going to take a look at the LGFA Club Championships from the weekend and the last couple of weeks. Of course, a lot of games were postponed due to the weather, and Maureen will be joining us after a roundup of the senior championship. We're going to take a look as well at the intermediate and junior, and I'm joined by a few men that know a bit about it. Pádraig Helfrey, as ever, is in studio with us, and so is Brendan Kilcoyne, regular contributor to the show, and Dara Boner of the Donegal News. So we're going to look across, lads, the different games in the championship and, you know, the intrigue that we had. Of course, St. Noel's, Killybegs, two teams were dressed with for to get off the mark down at the bottom of the table. Their game was postponed. Eirua, 11 points, Ardrath, 4-5. Goals winning games, a bit easy to say there. And a big win for Kilcare away to Glenfinn. So we're going to really concentrate on St. Junan's Gudoer. The top one, I think, is gone already from John Gilday's perspective. St. Junan's Gudoer, St. Michael's, Dunlow, McCool's, Neve Connell, and Four Masters, Glen Swilly. And Pádraig, we'll be taking you through that. Of course, that's the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Championship there, and championships. And of course, the man whose name is above it had a big say in one of those games. He's still doing the business. Pádraig, Michael Murphy, rolling.
Rolling back the years, because Michael hasn't stopped going five for him. Just shows you class is permanent, Brendan. You know, it's been a great performance by Glen Swilly. We'll touch in on them very shortly indeed, but delighted to say we're joined, as Brendan has indicated, Dara Boner from the Donegal News, and also Brendan Kilcoyne, of course, our GAA correspondent here on Highland Radio. I suppose let's start with that big victory over the weekend, lads. I suppose on Saturday, Gudoer coming away from the Donald Park, Brendan, with a 1 point victory. Big performance by Gudoer, and crucial points for them as well.
Massive, and you know, a definite element of surprise around the county when the result came through. Pádraig, you know, Gudoer have been a troublesome team for St. Junan's over the last number of years, and you know, they like coming to the park. They've been successful there in a couple of number of occasions in the recent past, so they have. And you know, we know the grit and the fight they bring, but I suppose in the context of, you know, the fact that both the two McGees, I suppose, Eamon and Neil, and the likes of Oran McNeilis, Micheál Carroll, Keane Mulligan, this is a relatively new Gudoer team that have had success at underage, you know, of that there's no doubt kind of thing. But, you know, to come to the park and take down a Unions team that were going really well the week before, only the week before, and I believe a contributor on the show last week was saying that there was only one team in the county, so John will have to revise his assertions on that, but it might be the kick that St. Junan's need. Listen, St. Junan's were short some key players, there's no doubt about that, you know, and the likes of Darren Mulgrew, Niall O'Donnell, who's having a great year, their main man marker, and Conor Morrison, just to mention a few of the players that weren't available on Saturday for them. So obviously when they're back, they'll strengthen them up. But Unions will have to find a way to break down this low block, so they will, and that's the bottom line.
Is this
and
the new terminology we're going at here? Is it a low block?
Well, it's 15 behind the ball. That's the
let's call a spade what let's it call, is.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, teams will do that, and particularly as you go into deeper into the championship, there's a possibility, particularly when a team, unfancy team, come up against a fancy team. They have to set up defensively to make the fancy team kind of break them down. And Unions have to find a better way of doing that. And listen, I totally acknowledge and appreciate that's easier said than done. But again, we see that Unions struggled against it by all accounts on Saturday evening. And we've seen over the last number of years too, in encounters, particularly, I suppose, against Niamh Connell, where they've struggled with that. Now, obviously, when you have the when you bring back the few players that were missing, it should help. But it will be a reset for Unions and for Gidor. Fair play to them. Great win. Came up with a lot of energy, a lot of character. And I suppose the fact that they got that goal, I think, for Owen de Burke kind of in the first half, gave them a platform to build, Porrick, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And suppose, Dara, looking at that as well, you're Ronan McNeill's, you're sitting down in Gidor, you have time to think. Tactically, you're going to go, well, how can I beat this St. Unions side? And obviously, that's one tactic you're definitely going to think about.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Gidor coming in this game, like, they would have been going into it with no fear, they had nothing to lose, and I suppose after that first week, they still did have to win, really, in a way, because if they could have been sitting on 2 points after three games, it wouldn't have been looking great for them. But yeah, as you're saying, like, the I suppose the tactic, they've probably looked back at previous matches that Unions have played in and seen that maybe this is something that can work, and I think the conditions were tricky on the day as well, which probably benefited, well, could have benefited either team, I suppose, in a way, but obviously whenever Gidor got their goal, that made a big difference in it.
And looking from your point of view, Brendan, as well, suppose from Unions looking on at this, it is, suppose whenever you make so many changes as well, it does, you know, it does give players an opportunity as well, playing in the Championship, trying to get a performance out of them. Is there any positives that Unions can take out of that particular game? I know a 1 point defeat can feel a lot at times, you know, but is there any, suppose when you're strengthening your panel and you're looking down the road a wee bit?
Yeah, and you know, you're going to need a good strong squad so you are to get through, you know, particularly if St. Unions progress to the latter stages of the Championship, which the expectation is they will, Porrick, you're going to need that squad depth. And, you know, I think this can be a good reset for them, because sometimes you're going along great and everyone's patting you on the back and you go down to Davy Brennan Park, you beat the host, Niamh Connell, down there the week before, and you know, you beat them fairly comprehensively, so you do. So obviously, you know, the confidence levels, etc., are high, Porrick, whereas this can be a reset for them. They can look at, you know, where things didn't possibly go right for them, where they need to improve, and they can kind of just maybe refocus again on what they need to do in order to go that step further than they've gone the last couple of years. So listen, you have to take, there mightn't be too many positives in the way the game was played, but when they look back on it, and you know, it's always said that you always learn more in defeat about individual players and a team. And Darren made a good point, you know, that it was a must-win game for Gidor.
Yeah.
It wasn't essentially for St. Unions, and that's the, I suppose, the Championship, kind of Championship that we're in, kind of thing, you know. So maybe the need and the desire was greater for Gidor than it was for St. Unions on the night, and you know. But that said, Gidor do have that thing over St. Unions of recent times, and Unions need to, you know, there's a good chance these two sides could meet again later in the Championship, so there is, and Unions, I'd say, would learn a lot from it.
I suppose Ryan Ferry was covering the game for us on Saturday, of course, and there was that aspect when he spoke to Ronan McNeillis about that rivalry between Gidor and St. Unions goes back generation and generation.
Yeah.
And there's one thing about that, I suppose, the Gidor players, they don't fear St. Unions, and I suppose bringing that in, Dara, was really, really important, and you know, building on that. And when they do that, Gidor, you know, they have really good nucleuses of players coming from underage as well. So Gidor are quietly, I suppose, happy, very, very happy down there tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, you look back at last year as well, they lost their first away game to Ballyshannon, Éireann, and then they end up getting to the final. So that's that game against Four Masters, you probably can maybe just scratch one over it in a way. Like, obviously, they've come into these games now and they're starting to build momentum, and it's looking good for them. Like, as Brendan already mentioned, the five men that they've lost from last year are massive, but there is a lot of good young players coming through there. Aidan Brana, Donal McGill, Regia, Underburke, the likes of them, they've all really impressed in the last couple of years, and they're still in the early 20s as well, so it's not all doom and gloom there.
Definitely not. And Brendan, you know a lot of those players really, really well. You're looking at Kieran Gillespie coming back into that Gidor side. You've also Stephen Donough McFadden as well. And Dara O'Beale was immense at the weekend. So quietly, the Gidor men are getting things together at the right time.
Oh, 100%. And you go through their team, you look at their team on paper there, and you know, they're all strong, good footballers. That there's a lot of quality there. likes of Adam MacIver introduced into the team this year too, proper good footballer. Owen de Burke is grown by the year, and then the Ethan Harkin kind of thing, you know, that'll get the scores. And of course Eamon Colliman's back from his travels too, so there's so much quality. Don't be fooled by the fact that, you know, we started off saying that there was five big guys missing. There's a lot of quality within that Gidor team. And you know, you mentioned Kieran Gillespie, and I heard he went off injured. I hope it's not too bad, because he deserves a run, a game, so he does. You know, he's had no luck with injury over the last number of years. So, but it's great to see him back on the field and contesting. And, you know, and Aidan Brannock, they've one of the best cornerbacks, club cornerbacks in the county. So they have, like, he really is a fantastic footballer. So there's no doubt the quality that they have all over the field. And they'll take an awful lot of confidence from that. They'll build from that, so they will.
Looking at another North West side sitting second in the Michael Murphy Senior Football Championship, currently in the league tables, is St Michael's, and they eked out a 1-point victory against Dunloe, Dara. And well, it was that man Michael Langan that stepped up for St Michael's, an important score for them, and continuing their fine form in the championship.
Yeah, and they've probably been happy with the draw they've got so far, and they've got their two wins at the Bridge, which is always a difficult place to go, and I think the weather was another massive factor once again. I think the breeze was very strong down there, as it always is, but they are really ticking along well now. I've seen them the first day out against Killybegs, and they looked strong. Langan again was brilliant that day. The likes of Eddie O'Reilly, Carlos O'Reilly are both playing very good football too, and they're a well-experienced team now as well. Like, that's what I was talking to Mark Antony McGinley last week. That's one thing he was saying too, is they're quite young the last couple of years, or 5 years ago maybe, but they're all really coming into their own now, and they're really looking good at the minute, to be fair to them.
Got in at half time, Brendan. They had a very commanding lead, and Dunloe, supposed to their credit, came back. They were 8-1 down, and suppose that's probably something they will be having a conversation about this week in the St Michael's camp. Good victory, but you had a strong lead at half time.
Yeah, but like, for by all accounts, I think the wind was a huge factor, as it is a lot of the time down the Bridge. So it is, you know, and it was always going to be. I was down that part of the country myself yesterday at the Clonmacnoise Downings game, mm-hmm. and the wind and the weather was a huge factor and determined how the game was going to be played, Porrick. So, you know, there was always going to be a kick. And, you know, Dunloe were coming in with a lot of confidence, having had two wins under their belt themselves. Some really good footballers in that Dunloe team, and they'd have been, you know, really happy with their championship performance to date. And, you know, even to go down and you go through that St Michael's team, like, apart from Michael Langan, who's an absolutely Rolls Royce of a footballer, like, he's just pure quality. He's, you know, there's players down through the years that you'd pay to get in and watch alone, kind of thing. And, you know, we've spoke about the likes of Oran McNeilis and that kind of thing, just pure oozing quality. Michael Langan is similar, like, he's just a beautiful footballer to watch, his technique, his skill level, you know, he can do everything. So there's so much experience, Dara mentioned, throughout that St Michael's team, right through the team, like every one of the names you've seen, you know that they've a few years of senior football experience, and they've gone through difficult enough times down at the Bridge with, you know, they haven't had the success that they probably deserved maybe 10-15 years ago, mm-hmm. when they had the really crack team with the Colm Attenney and the Christies and the Martin McElhennys, Daniel McLaughlins, etc. But you go through that team, there's so much experience still within it, and They will present problems for a lot of teams when it goes to quarter final stage. So they will, and fair play to them. You know, not many people would have said after three games that they'd be topping, that they'd be in the top couple of teams, kind of thing, in the table. And they've gone out and done the business. The draw may have been kind to them, but they still had to go and do the business, and they've done that.
Yeah, they definitely did. And well, Dara, I suppose you were up watching Niamh Connell bouncing back over the weekend. They took on McCool's, and look. A game where they won fairly convincingly in the second half, scoring 2-6 in that second half. It was 7-3 at half time, but it went 5 points for McCool's, 2-13 for Niamh Connell. Very, very convincing there from Martin Regan's side.
Yeah, I mean, you always expected Niamh Connell to bounce back, but I think that going to McCool Park and winning by that scoreline really does show that they are, maybe there wasn't as much in that last week, or maybe they are still in that top two, are they?
There were shudders there from the man beside you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're all losing at the mention of Niamh Connell, and that comes from recent experience. But you listen, you have to respect Niamh Connell, what they've done in club football, and they've been fantastic. And you look how much they've strengthened up, even, you know, bringing back Ethan O'Donnell. Finbar Rorty now is part of the senior squad. Fantastic footballer, like, really one to watch. He's you know. But I think it has to be taken in the context too, that if you look at the McCool's team and who they were missing, and I don't like focusing on players too much, and I know that that might sound contradictory to what I'm saying, but when you take Joel Bradley Welsh and Oisin Gallen and Sean Martin, you know, they're three top players, the three guys that were involved with the senior squad, like, kind of thing, with the Donegal senior squad. When you take them out of it, out of a team like McCool's, who are building and who have an awful lot of young, good talent that I would have, you know, I would be familiar with kind of through my time involved with the minors and the under-20s over the last number of years, you know, you're taking a big lump out of them, so they are. So, you know, this game was tight enough up to, you know, maybe 10 minutes to go. I think it was two late goals, Dara, that, you know, really decided in the end. But again, if Connell were burnt from the week before, there was always going to be a lashback from them, so there was, on the back of the St. Junan result the week before down in Davy Brennan Park. So, you know, Niamh Connell are going to be featured. We know that from day one. And, you know, to me, you know, you look at it, they were only beaten by a point by the eventual All-Ireland Club champions last year. So they're the number one team in Donegal, no matter what our friend John Gildea said last week.
Yeah.
And irrespective of the group stage results, you know, we saw the group stage last year too. It had no reflection on what happened later on in the championship. So Niamh Connell are the team to take down. And there's no doubt about that. But it's about, you know, they're building nicely. You look at the quality that they have, as I say, that they have, and the strength and depth. And, you know, they'll see the likes of Neil Francis Boyle coming through, Mark McDevitt, Finbar Rorty, Ethan O'Donnell back in the frame again. There's just, you know, they have a superb squad of players that play a very good system. And, you know, the scoreline probably didn't do McCool's justice maybe on Saturday night, but Niamh Connell are more than okay.
Yeah, and you were at that game, Dara, and you were, I suppose, watching it as well. And obviously, as Brendan's indicated, notable absentees from the McCool side. So maybe you can look at it in that and say, well, look, they were missing their three best players, to be honest.
Yeah, and Marty O'Reilly was missing as well. So it's another big name out of that team.
Huge.
And I think there was maybe three free kicks in the first half that they missed. And if you have Oisin Gallen or Joel Bradley Welsh on those, probably go over the bar. And you're thinking then could be a 1-point game at half time. I know it's ifs and buts and that, but that's just from frees alone that it could have been a point in it. Coming into the second half, though, Niamh Connell were just good on the ball. McCool's made a couple of mistakes just kicking the ball away. Couple just mistakes, like they soloed the ball and got intercepted a couple of times, and then I think that's where one of the Niamh Connell goals came from, the first one, and then that really made the difference. And then the second one was well into added time, just added a bit of gloss for them, I suppose. But yeah, like the McCool's team, I suppose they beat Killybegs away without those four lads, and obviously Oisin didn't play the first game as well against Ardra when they won by 10 points. So I think you're looking at that scoreline and you're thinking, yeah, maybe they could have done a lot better with those players in, and they're still going quite well.
And good player management as well, because you're exposing, you know, other individuals to playing against the likes of Niamh Connell, and just, you know, you can do so many drills, Bren, throughout your time as a coach, but it's until you're actually in the mix and you learn as a footballer. And suppose McCool's are doing that with their younger players, exposing them to this
they are indeed. And, you know, we know they're a young team, and, you know, the big thing that I would see with Niamh Connell is the physicality that they have. They're all built like tanks. They're all super fit. They must live in the gym, like, kind of thing, you know. They're just so strong and fit, and, you know, they understand the system that they're playing with. Whereas, you know, this is a start really of a project. Okay, McCool's got a good run last year, and, you know, but you don't get to that level in 12 or 18 months, so you don't. No. That takes a few years to build up that kind of level of strength and power and physicality. And, you know, I was speaking to a friend of mine that was at the game, and he says the one thing that stood out for him was the difference in physicality, kind of thing, between the two teams. And, you know, I know the quality that McCool's have. We'll say you take Kevin McCormick, Conor McGinty, who are two fabulous footballers, kind of thing. But the physical element of, you know, if you don't have a Farah or a Joel Bradley or Marty Riley or these guys to rub off, you're kind of losing a lot, kind of thing. And that's where, you know, McCool's will be able to build over the next few years, and, you know, to get these players back fit and get them back on the pitch, kind of thing, it will help them.
Your noisy neighbours are continuing to be noisy over in Glensfully there, Brendan, and suppose fabulous game by all accounts for Masters against Glensfully at the weekend on Saturday. It was, suppose, had everything, suppose, from championship football that you want to see. 2-9 to 2-7. And a certain gentleman stepping up with a goal in five for Glenn Swilly there, and no doubt you were noting his name down.
Yeah, young fella started at the square, Michael Murphy. No, listen, it was a joy to be there. It was absolutely cracking game of championship football. It's everything you want. Now, and again, conditions weren't ideal. Pitch was really, really heavy, so it was. And you could see, you know, that it was drawing it out of the legs. And Murphy at the edge of the square, like, scored 1-5. He could have actually had three. Ryan Haughey made two unbelievable stops, one-on-one stops against him in the second half. But it's not all about Michael Murphy, because it was the middle third where I saw that the real battle was, and the Gallagher brothers, Jack and Donald Gallagher, Keelan Kelly, young Owen Scott coming out, and just their battle and their willingness to get on ball. Now, you have to make, like, you can't go through this game without giving huge kudos to Four Masters. They were absolutely fantastic, played some really good football, particularly in the first half. And, you know, Conor Reid knocked over a couple of big long-range scores earlier on. Senan Carr came alive then and scored, you know, a goal just before half-time and after half-time. And he's a good wee folly with Killian Faulkner in the full forward line in there. So, and young Callum McRae, a cornerback, had an absolutely phenomenal game, driving up the field, scored a point, setting up scores, was really brilliant, as was his brother Aaron. So there was a lot of positives that Four Masters will take from this. And I know that I was speaking to a few of them after and they were very disappointed. But again, it's a learning process. And people have this kind of, you know, because they've been so successful at underage level, that that'll translate directly straight away into senior. And that's not going to be the case. It takes time. Going back to my previous point, you know, about building that physicality and getting, you know, just getting a bit stronger and, you know, learning to play the game at senior level. And, you know, it was such a competitive game. Every ball was fought ferociously for around all over the field, and particularly the middle third. Senan Carr then came out after halftime. There were four up at halftime. Scored a brilliant goal after brilliant work from Killian Faulkner. Next thing, the Michael Murphy show. Bang, 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 bang. 4 points in the space of 4 minutes, kind of thing, you know. So the goal after half-time was nullified straight away, kind of thing. And then Senan got a chance, they got a penalty. Clean through on goals, pulled down, you know, penalty. And to be fair to Keelan McFadden, saved the penalty. And you could just feel the momentum sway. You could feel it move back towards Glenn Swilly. And there were so... That's where the likes of Donal and Jack Gallagher and these lads really took over around the middle of the park. Mark Boner, excuse me, but it was a brilliant contest. It was such a joy, and it went right to the end, so it did. And you know, not only did Michael Murphy score 1-5, he was back at his own full back line winning ball in the last few minutes, kind of thing, to try and, you know, stem the tide, because Four Masters, be fair to them, they kept coming, but they were a bit naive in their defending in the second half, in that they left themselves so open on counters when they were turned over. Glenn Swilly transitioned really well. There's some lovely kickers of the ball. They were kicking ball into Michael. He was left one-on-one, which was the opposite to the first half, because they always had a covering defender in front of him. But he was left exposed in the second half. And, you know, as I say, he could have had 3-5, 3-6 kind of thing, you know.
Good luck with that. But look, I suppose, Dara, coming on that point, what Brendan has indicated about Glenn Swilly, the work ethic as well from both sides is great to see. And I think it was Gary... was indicating, the Glenn Swilly manager, about these sides. They know each other from underage, but getting them performances in at senior level, it just doesn't quite happen. But when you look at that Glenn Swilly side and you look at the work ethic, you look at the way they're moving as well and coming out with the victories, they're sitting top of the Michael Murphy Sports Senior Football Championship there currently. They will be very, very happy coming away from Tyrconnell Park. And look, as Brendan indicated, for Masters, they will learn from that particular game.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, I think Gary McDade said before about how a lot of the league campaign was blooding in these young players, and it seems to be coming true anyway, the way they're going through this, because whenever you're down, was it 6 points they were down at one stage?
They were seven down in the second half, just after the goal.
Obviously, you do have the likes of Michael Murphy or Copper and those lads that can make sure the heads don't drop and keep them going, but... I think they know themselves, that those young lads, that they can bring it back. And then I suppose on the flip side with Four Masters, it's probably one that they will be annoyed that they did lose, but there'll be a lot of learning in that, and
yeah.
They just maybe didn't have that maturity to see out the win. But I mean, they did it well against Gidor in the first game of the championship. So,
and that's something, I suppose, comes. Like obviously, Glenswally would have really looked into that. How like Senan Carr stepping up, probably one of the players of the season so far. You know, in the championship, yeah. Another two goals. Like, and that's definitely a lot of teams are going to be keeping their eyes on Senan over the next.
He's a goal machine. Like he yeah. really is. You know, you give him you present him with half an opportunity inside, and he's able to take his man on. He has the pace. He's that lower centre of gravity that he can go by his man, and he's very strong on the ball. So he is. And you know, he was unlucky with the penalty to get another try. I think he's six goals scored in three games in the championship. You know, he's won three and two scored. Like, and you know, along with that, he's a good work rate inside too. He does a lot of work, so he does. And you know, you see him back in his own defence, picking up ball from time to time. And you know, but the way Glenswilly are set up with Michael Copper and Keelan Kelly, just that spine of experience and this exuberance of youth that's around them, kind of that just. You know, you can see their desire to get on the ball, and they're good footballers. Mm. They can look up, they can know, they know when they're looking to try and find Michael on one-on-ones inside. They're not afraid to kick the ball inside, so they aren't. And why would you be when you have someone like Michael Murphy? And, you know, just to mention how lucky, you know, to be still able to watch Michael Murphy play football is just a joy, because he's, you know, just he's such a presence on any team, so he is, that he plays with. And you know, but yeah. You just come away from a game like that buzzing, because it was just the contest and the ferocity of the exchanges all over the field, but particularly in the middle third. And, you know, I think you have to give credit to the referee, Andy McFeely. I thought he did a really good job, because it did threaten to spill over a couple of times, but he let it flow and the game went well.
Yeah, very experienced referee, yeah. And he knows he knows how to manage games like that. Before we get back to Davie here, Downing's, they have beaten Clonmacnoise, of course. 1-9 to 10 points was the final score there. Brendan, you were at that one. Paddy McAwee with the goal for Downing's. Kilcar, they had an impressive victory against Glenfinn, 18 points to 1-8. Paddy McBurdy stepping up with 9 points there. And a goal fest, Ardra, 4-5, Eroa 11 points away at Father Tierney Park, and another defeat there for Eroa. So, as I say, big performance by Ardra, and goals won games as the. Is the old mantra, Brent?
Yeah, listen, big win for Ardra. They were under a lot of pressure. A couple of results went against them. So a big win for them. Now, you just look at their score difference, it probably is a bit of a concern for them. They'll wait anxiously on the draw to see who they get in the next game, so they will. And, you know, as you mentioned, I was down in Falkara at the game yesterday. Again, really good game, really good contest, so it was. The goal by Paddy McAlwee after 50 minutes in the second half was the key score in the game. And Downing's probably deservedly won it on the day. Clonmacnoise probably a bit too reliant on their old guns of Sean McGarvey and Sean Maguire kind of thing, but you know, really good contest and both teams really going for it. So Clonmacnoise, you know, they're under a bit of pressure, so they are now. Downing's can take a bit of confidence from that win into the whoever they get in the fourth game.
Yeah, brilliant round up there, lads, as ever. Brilliant roundup as ever there. Good man, Perrick. You are, do you know what? It takes a team, doesn't it? Except
it does,
there's no blanket defence trying to stop us here. We're kind of free to talk and free to express ourselves.
With Joe Dex there, keep
I'm not even going to go into this argument about, you know, where I feel. Listen, Brian and Al's waiting patient there. We're going to go to her shortly after this break. First of all, just very quickly, obviously, there's Glenswilly, St. Michael's, 3-3, Terman, Karen Donnett, and Neve Alton going down through the championship. Sorry. Great start from Terman, of course, in this intermediate. Buncrana and Mulford just below them in 5, Neve Wura and 4, Bundoran. And Neve Columba on 4. The intermediate championship, as we're saying, is hotting up. And in the junior championship, we have a couple of great performances as well, particularly from Karen Donnett, 3-3. And as I say, Neve Alton are on that as well. They're pushing ahead. Dara, you're thinking these two championships, we're going to give them a proper in-depth look in the coming weeks. But certainly a couple of teams are look like they're pushing a bit ahead and certainly favourites for the titles.
Yeah, well, I think the main talk is about Terman at the minute. And, I mean, after the ending they had to their Division 2 campaign and then beating Eroa in the playoff, it's kind of, they've looked impressive and they've come straight into this championship doing the same. Maybe not as impressive the last day against Burt. It seemed a very close game, but I'm not sure.
I think I know what happened there with Ronan McLaughlin, and come back to our theme of shutting teams down. But listen, this is the issue. It works to a point, and it just obviously kills the game as a spectacle. But it made it difficult, and certainly for after Burt's start, they had to do something like that. I mean, I can't understand that.
Yeah, man, I mean, they got the win, so... Well, Terman got the win, so I mean, yeah, they should.
But they made it competitive,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
You wouldn't have thought that was going to be it. Listen, I can understand teams coming up. I just think there's other teams that do they need to do that. I mean, Godor, for example, came and beat Unions well in the league. You know, Unions only lost a couple of games this year, and then it goes again. But I suppose from Unions' perspective, as we keep saying about learnings, no more than four masters. When it's not knockout championship, I guess at times you got to learn things. And, you know, as tough as that may be, you got to take the learnings. Because if that's a knockout game, there's no chance to recover. And that's the way it is. But listen, folks, thanks so much for rounding up all the championship, lads. We're looking forward to a wee week off. And then we'll go at it again for round four and see where it takes us. Coming up after break, I say we're going to talk to Maureen O'Donnell about the ladies' championship. I thought we said the time, as I had to say the time. Yeah, listen, Park, you've thrown me off kilter now. You've put me out of my seat. I don't know what I'm at. Listen, who can pull it together? We need somebody who's assured, smart, and has it all up here. It's Maureen O'Donnell.
The one and only.
What's the crack, girl?
Here we go.
There she is.
Ready to come
on
here.
Yes.
Start the lads out.
You're all right, Ty. Listen, we always need it, Ty. Hulvery's blathering away here. You can bring two top chairman stalwarts in here now to bring it all together. Mo, I spoke to you last week just about giving us a bit of update on the game. So we said we would go this week, and of course we had a good raft of postponements in that, Mo. But listen, we still had games played, and you know there's games to come in that. So we're just looking a bit of feel for what you made of the championship so far, and of course the weekend's games.
Yeah, it's like you said, hey, the conditions of the weekend, you know, two of the games in round three were postponed due to waterlogged pitches. Like, and then, you know, I got word of other games faltering down through the intermediate, the junior A games all cancelled. So that'll sort of backtrack it for a little bit. But in terms of the senior championship yesterday, St Eunan's did field against St Noel's. St Eunan's were at home, of course, and they came away with a 2-point victory against St Noel's. St Eunan's, I suppose, really, really needed the victory against St Noel's yesterday because they'll be looking for a top four place come the semi-final stages. Unfortunately for St Noel's, now they haven't got off the bottom of the table yet. They have no wins under their belt, but listen, there's a few games left yet. Also playing yesterday, Moville. We're playing at home to Erua. Moville beaten Erua 2-15 to 2-6. And there was a late goal from Erua to just, you know, bring it up a little bit better for them. But, you know, it's always very hard to go away to Moville and try and get a victory. But listen, the way it is in senior championship this year, there's two groups, Group A and Group B. So there's eight teams in total in the senior championship. And they've changed it up a little bit this year. They've kind of gone and maybe took the style of the men's championship there. So, you know, when it came out first, you would have looked at in Group A, Termon, Moville, Neve Connell and St Eunan's been a very, very competitive group. And it would have been hard to get two top teams probably out of that. You know, you'd obviously look to Termon. And then in Group B, Glenfinn, St Noel's, Nevora and Erua. And Glenfinn, I guess, and maybe the rest of the teams looking in that group would have thought, like, especially Erua, Nevora and St Noel's would have thought, well, we have one big team in this group to beat, you know. So, you know, out of three teams, St Noel's, Nevora and Erua, we'll definitely get a semi-final spot in that. And Glenfinn would have thought that they would have got the easier group. Termon, Moville and Neve Connell and St Eunan's would have thought they got the harder group. And, of course, they switched it around then. So it was it's a case of everybody in Group A has to play everybody in Group B, which left Glenfinn really at a struggle then, yeah, because they would have to play Termon and Moville.
When was that decided? So the groups was already drew out before that decision was made.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I don't know which came first.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the girls and a lot of the feedback from the girls, what's coming back from them is they actually, like, speaking of some of the Glenfinn players, and I put it to them, and they were saying that we thought we had a handy group. Well, not a handy group, but we thought we had an all right group. But it turns out that they probably have the raw end of the deal, really.
Yeah.
You know, so it really threw it up in the air as to who would pick for the top four. Again, as I say, obviously Termon, because they've been strong over the last number of years, and Glenfinn. You'd still suspect Glenfinn would be in there with the top four. But, you know, listen, Glenfinn are in a tricky position. They've only played one game, and that has been against Termon down the Burn Road. And they lost out to Termon that day. So they really need to pick up their points now in the next few games. So Glenfinn have still St Eunan's to play, Glenties and Moville. And those those three teams will all be looking for a place in the top four, Brendan. So that's how it is, and that's how it stands at the minute. Glenfinnan are due now this weekend because it's a free weekend. And then the round four stage games will be played on the 8th of September. And then any games then that were postponed yesterday will be played then after that, just before the semi-finals. But Glenfinnan are due to play St Union's, which will be a big game now this weekend. Glenfinnan really need to win their matches if they have a chance of staying up in the top four now.
Mm. But what you're saying there, Mo, so you've got probably Termin a bit would be favourites for the championship, they say, and then you've got maybe five teams after that that you think are all capable of beating each other on a given day. Would that be kind of your feeling on it?
Yeah, listen, look, you got to look to Termin. They're still very strong. Listen, it goes back to the county, and you've lost a number of big names in the county, maybe through the Australian football. Some of the players, club players, are going out to play the Australian football. It filters down then into the club, and some of the, you know, Termin are still relatively strong. They're without Nicole McLaughlin this year, but apart from that, Geraldine's in there playing. I know she didn't play county football this year, but you know, they were due to play Naevora are second and bottom of the table, you could say, so at the minute, and they were due to play Naevora at the weekend. I would assume they would have they won that game. That's their final game, so they would top the group. You know, Mavull are always very, very strong.
Are they coming back? It seemed like they were a wee bit off. Maybe the, you know, challenge of what was the top two for a few years there after they had their own championship victories. Is there a new way of coming through there for them?
Who, Mavull? You're talking about Mavull?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, look, Mavull, you know, they've been in senior championship for the best part of a decade and beyond, and they've been competing big time up there. What happened to Mavull, you see, is a lot of their players then, there was no Cairn Donagh team at the time, and a lot of their players that were playing for Mavull, they transferred back to Cairn Donagh when the club came about again. So, you know, that hurt them bad. They lost an awful lot of players at that stage, and they were down for a few years. But they still competed well in senior championship. Like, they were finalists in 2016, 17 and 18, and they won the title in 2016. So you can see that they are competing. They were in the semi-finals 2 years ago in 2022. Against I think they were playing Glenfinnan, they beat Glenfinnan. So Mavull are up against, Mavull have still Glenfinnan to play in the last game, so off the stages of the championship now at the minute. So that'll be a big game as well for Mavull. Mavull haven't beaten Glenfinnan maybe for the best part of 7 years now. But I think as well Mavull will be losing Niamh McLaughlin. County player Niamh McLaughlin, she's going to have to play the Australian football as well. So, and maybe her sister Blanet as well, maybe going as well. So, listen,
massive blow
to get to the semi finals now, Brendan, at this stage.
Yeah, you can't replace players again.
No, we spoke to Niamh earlier on in the year, and Niamh McLaughlin and her sister Blanet leaving. You know, it's disappointing for Mavull because, as Mo has indicated, they have been very competitive over the last number of years. And you know, you wouldn't take them for granted in any particular day, you know. But I suppose, as Mo's indicated about St Union's, Union's be very happy. That's going to be a bit of a clinker, I think. Glenfinnan and St Union's this weekend, you know, if the weather would settle a bit.
Yeah, our August our August hurricanes coming. Listen, it's great too, because obviously, you know, with this fresh look at Donegal and John McNulty and the new management, you know, if there's plenty of teams being competitive, you know, there'll be players stepping up to the mark, because it's an open book again in terms of this Donegal team and unearthing players, which is great. Mo, is there anything in the intermediate and junior ranks caught your eye in terms of teams that are going well and pushing up?
Listen, I suppose when you talk about intermediate, you really have to look at Dunlow and the progress they've been making. I know you and I have talked about this Dunlow team now for a while, but they top in the table now at the minute, you know. Their seniors lost out. They were promoted to Division 1 last year, which was massive for the club. Their seniors lost out to Termin earlier on this year in the Division 1 semi-final. Their under-14s just won the Division 1 title there at the weekend, and I think their minors are also in the Division 1 semi-final against Foremasters. So, listen, there are four girls on the minor county panel, and I think there's possibly two girls on the senior panel for Dunlow as well. So they're really an up-and-coming team. I would say, if I was to put my money on it, now I've been wrong in the past, and there's nothing wrong with that either.
Never.
But, you know, I think they'll have their sights in the Intermediate Championship this year. I mean, Killybegs were, I think, in the final last year as well. They're sitting third in the table, and Cador is probably the other challenging team and the Intermediate Championship as well. So, listen, you've got it's very competitive in Intermediate, and they're all looking to get up to Senior, and that's a great thing because, when you know, that's where you'll develop and that's where you'll really progress. Playing in Division or in Senior Championship against the big teams. When you look at Nivoir up this year, they're having a tight time. They're at the bottom of the table, but they're definitely, no doubt, a team that have developed. I watched them play in the Junior Ulster Final. They progressed into Intermediate, won the Intermediate last year. That's probably 3 years later. And I know they're at the bottom of the table, but you know, the only way is up if they keep progressing and developing and playing the bigger teams. Irua are in there now for a number of years. St. Junior's have been in there. Niamh Connell have been in since 2018, competing very well in the Senior Championship. And like Buncrana was in 2019, and what happened was they were relegated then straight away that year. And after that, I think they brought a rule in that you had to stay 3 years in the Senior Championship, which has definitely improved and developed players. Yeah. And, you know, as I said there, teams in Intermediate definitely looking to get up. And the same with Junior A. Like, I spoke to Barney today, the manager from or he's working with the Downies side down there, and they're definitely looking to get out of Junior A and Intermediate. And that's how you progress, and it's swings and roundabouts. Like, we talk about Termin being in top form and a top ladies football team, as in Glenfinn and, you know, and Moville, but, you know, like, Four Masters were up and not so long ago. Like, Four Masters were relegated in 2012, and they find themselves now Four Masters down in Junior A and struggling to get up. But I've no doubt they will get up again, but that's how quick it can be, you know, in ladies football. You go down, you drop. But no doubt that's because they lost a lot of players, and that's what happens with ladies footballers. You lose players every now and again, but there's a serious amount of work being done. There are 37 county club teams now at the minute, Brendan, and they're doing a power of work to try and promote the ladies' game and to try and promote the game among players as well. So it's fantastic to see.
Well, yeah, I was chatting to Sinead Breen about that before I came on today, just talking about, you know, the promotion of the games right across, because that's the core of the GA has to be. You know, everybody has to get the promotion, get the help, get the backup, because, as you know, Mo, the great life that you've had in football, there's so many aspects to it which are so positive. And listen, Mo, we'll stay in touch as the championship goes on. And thanks for that roundup this evening.
Thanks, Mo.
Brendan, thanks, Warwick.
Thanks very much. Folks, after the break, we're going to talk to Sean McVeigh about the hurling finals coming up at the weekend.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Hello, Jedward speaking. Sorry, Edward speaking.
Hey, bro, I'm glad you picked up.
Who is this?
It's me, John. I'm literally outside in the landing.
I don't know any Sean. Lose my number. Hello?
Edward, don't hang up. I'm sorry for saying a handyman could fix the gas boiler. Please forgive...
Always use a registered gas installer, or you could risk everything. Find one at rgi.ie.
Sheridan Security, now introducing zero-wire smart alarm systems. Zero wire, zero mess, and a real peace of mind. With a simple press of a button, your alarm can be set or unset, or download the free app and control it from your phone. Call us today on 074-912-6025 and get your alarm from €299. Stay local, stay safe, and protect what you value most with Sheridan Security Systems.
Every visit to the Virgin Media Playhouse brings amazing offers, like 1 gig super fast reliable broadband for just €45 a month for 12 months with no activation fee, and for a limited time, €100 voucher when you switch online. Switch today at virginmedia.ie. Virgin Media, it's playtime.
T's and C's apply. See virginmedia.ie. Subject to location and availability. New customers only. 12-month contract. 1 gig broadband, €80 thereafter. Offer ends September 2nd, 2024.
Yes, boy. No need for another intro there, Jodex. We have Sean McVeigh in the line. Sean, what is the crack, sir?
Brendan, how's it going?
The very best, Sean. The very best. Great to hear from you, Sean. Sean, what a season you had, of course. and rolled into the club championship now. And listen, Dunans were in there fighting, and it was interesting to get your views because we have three big finals at the weekend in O'Donnell Park, of course, which is the home of the hurling. We have, of course, for Masters and Unions in the junior at 1 o'clock. And intermediate then we have Cairn Donna Buncrana. And then the big one, the senior final at 5 o'clock. That is Burt Visa Tanta. Sean, you, of course, played against both these sides this season. What are you expecting in the senior final?
Expecting a real battle, I suppose, Brendan. I suppose it's hard to look past the fact that Tanta are probably favourites. They've really picked up, I suppose, from where they left off, winning the county championship and obviously the Ulster Intermediate last year and driving on to an All-Ireland semi-final. You know, you kind of wonder how they come back after that, but the hunger still were there. But they look like they're moving better than ever. So I suppose it's going to be a real challenge for Bert to see how they're going to stop that. You look at that Satanta forward line. You know, you've got Rory Campbell up there who's leading the line really well and is really kind of developing really and leading that line for Satanta and is a really outlet for them. You've got Jerry Gilmore, Josh McGee inside there, and then you've got the likes of Danny Collins, Sean Ward. You know, it's a really inter-county forward line. So it'd be really interesting to see how Bert go about stopping that threat, you know.
Yeah, and tell me, of course, the championship earlier in the year, Bert did give them a scare. Three quick goals really gave them a platform in that game. But Satanta, 222 to 311, it ended up just that scoring power you're on about, Sean. So hard to contain. And that is a difficult proposition for Bert getting in this. But listen, Bert are improving, certainly, Sean. But it's a big step up. And of course, as you said, Satanta, you know, not just county champions, but Ulster champions. But it took a lot of, I suppose, experience and confidence and know-how in that run last year to that semi-final.
That's it. And I suppose the game that was played earlier in the year, you know, Bert got those early goals in the first half. They got three in the first half, and that really set a platform. But I suppose Satanta are so experienced now, they were able to draw them back in. But I think what's going to be a really interesting battle is probably the one between Ronan McDermott and Stephen McBride this week. Stephen McBride missed the game at the group stage, and I think that probably told with those goals in the first half. But it'd be interesting to see that battle this week. Obviously, Ronan's back from the cruciate injury he had last year. You know, he's really carrying the threat for Bert. They're probably going to look to really close up shop, I think, and really make it hard for Satanta. You know, they'll really try and make it a battle around the middle. They'll probably play, you know, bring a player back and try and fill gaps to stop the ball going inside to the likes of Rory and Josh and Jerry and boys like that, and then look to hit Ronan or Liam McKinney kind of from deep then and hope to get those 3-pointers and hope that that's enough for them. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Marty McGrath and the lads are thinking down in Bert. You know, it's a 4-week break from the last group game, so they've had plenty of time, I suppose, to put a plan together. So I think that's the real intriguing thing for me looking into the game is, you know, what are Bert going to come up with to really kind of stop Satanta opening them up, you know?
Yeah, it's set up for one limb. A lot of things going to have to fall in place, I suppose, in terms of the Bert performance to get close to them, because there's no doubt, Sean, at the minute, Satanta, you know, if they get into their groove, you know, it's an awesome a team to try and stop and shut down. As we know, we've seen from the weekend and the other codes, and it's hard to shut down a hurling team. The speed and the skill on show and the scores from range, you know, it's a difficult proposition.
Well, that's it. And you talk about, you know, keeping it tight and stopping the goals, but Satanta equally have the men who can pop scores from range. You know, you see Jerry Gilmore, who'd probably line out in the full forward line, but can equally just come out, you know, getting the ball from 50, 60 metres, pop it over. Same with Danny Cullen, Declan Coulter. You know, Niall Cleary can really take a score from distance as well. But the real interesting kind of involvement, I think, in the Satanta game the last couple of years has probably been Kevin Campbell in goals as well. And, you know, they're very happy to go back to him, you know, from the cornerbacks there and the fullbacks, and he'll come out and he'll start attacks. He'll spread the play. And I think that's at another level to the Satanta game. So, you know, it's one of them. You know, you think you might have one fire, you know, put out in one place and somebody else steps up and they might get a goal or a couple of points from distance. And it's just a really big challenge. But for Bert, you know, they've huge championship pedigree. They'll not fear the battle. They'll, knowing some of them lads, they'll be relishing it. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do. You know, they'll like the fact, knowing some of the management team down there, they'll probably like the fact they're going in, you know, underdogs, Satanta are going in big favourites. You know, I'll tee them up nicely. So, look, expecting a really exciting game, to be honest. I think if Bert can keep it tight in the first half, stay in the game for as long as possible, they're always going to have a threat with the likes of Liam McKinney and Ronan McDermott, you know, when they get the ball up the pitch. And that's really what's going to be the winning and losing of the game. I think if Bert can get those men on the ball, they'll cause a bit of bother for Satanta, but it's a big challenge for them.
Yeah, big challenge. Listen, really looking forward. What a day it's going to be out there, Sean. Obviously, the juniors, you know, this is the Grand Canal Hotel sponsoring the championship. So Union's four masters. And of course, Cairn Donagh Bun Crana as well. Very intriguing setup game. You know, Cairn Donagh, you know, great work being done down there. Hurling Bun Crana dropping down. Like, for a team that got, you know, either of these teams to win an intermediate title, be huge progression. It's always great to be in a competition where you have a realistic chance of winning. So a huge day for the clubs involved.
Yeah, really interesting game, this one, to be honest. You know, Cairn Donagh have been a team that's been on the up last number of years. And Bun Crana have really been a team that's been, you know, competing in county semi-finals. So really interesting one. You've got two teams, I suppose, coming in opposite directions. I think Bun Crana, you know, as much as progression has been for them in hurling over the years, and they produce some top players, they probably haven't had a lot of silverware to kind of show for that. Yeah. So this is a really big opportunity for them. And you'd love to see the likes of Jack O'Loughlin and Oisin Grant and boys that got really good over the line and get a bit of silverware for the efforts they put in. But then I suppose, likewise, on the other side, Cairn Donagh have really been an up-and-coming team. And, you know, the real big plus for them is obviously Luke White, and who plays in nets with Donegal, but he's playing centre-back for them. And he'll be pivotal for Cairn Donagh in that game. You know, you'll see they'll look to get frees from distance and, you know, even slow the game down at points as well. So that's going to be a really interesting battle, obviously, and an issue on Derby as well. So, that would be an interesting one. And yeah, I'm not sure what way that one will go. Bun Crana will probably go in his favourites, but I'm sure Cairn Donagh will make it extremely tough for him.
First class, Sean. Listen, really looking forward to it. No doubt we'll see you out there at the park. I'm looking forward to three brilliant games. I get along and get a look at it. If you don't, this will be streamed, of course, through the county board channels. Sean McVeigh, thanks for joining us this evening on DL Debate.